We're moving on to a new module today, Heavenly Realms. So we're going to look at the Heavenly Realms, how the Heavenly Realms function together. We've been looking at engaging the Heavenly Tabernacle and the different objects within it that are part of the process of being living sacrifices and maturing in our sonship. The Heavenly Tabernacle is a fractal image of the Heavenly Realms themselves, with different veils or matrices between the different realms that we can learn to navigate, to access, and engage. Engaging the Ark of God's presence within the Holy of Holies is where we can receive the mandates that enable us to function as lords, kings, and sons as we mature and we take up positions of government in the realms of heaven. Our maturity opens up new levels of sonship and governmental authority. Where we experience Yod Heh Vav Heh, the name of God, the four faces of God, the order of Melchizedek, and we begin to function as sons of God within the realms of heaven and to bring heaven onto the earth. And we looked at the three different tabernacles that this picture describes. This picture was written in 1919, actually. And we see the tabernacle of man, body, soul, and spirit, and the flow from the spirit out through the soul and through the body. And we also see the earthly tabernacle, which was the pattern of the heavenly tabernacle. And this is that picture of the heavenly tabernacle is really the picture of the fractal, the larger picture of the government. But actually, we also can see that there is a heavenly tabernacle. And we looked at engaging that heavenly tabernacle through the veil of the way, engaging the outer court, brazen altar, the laver, the veil of truth, into the holy place where there's the lampstand and the showbread, and eventually engaging the altar of incense as a living sacrifice so we can access the very ark of the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. Because the veil is torn and open, we all have access to come boldly into these realms. So the heavenly realms and the spiritual realms are open to us as the veil between the physical and spiritual dimension has been torn. Now, the heavenly realms and the spiritual realms are both spiritually dynamic places, but there are spiritual realms in this physical dimension that we can also access and we can travel to and fro, as well as going into the realms of heaven, which is another dimension and has multiple levels of dimension within it. We have more than just access into the heavenlies. We also have a position where we're seated or enthroned in our sonship in that realm. There are so many things to discover, so many places you can engage in, so many functions of those places, so many different angels and orders of angels to all discover. So a lot of questions which hopefully these modules that we're doing now on the pathway of responsibility of where we are actually going to function governmentally come into play. So we all have positions of authority in the heavenly realms, but how do we use them? What are the forms and the functions of the heavenly realms? How are they arranged or patterned? How do they interact with the seen and unseen physical realms? These are all questions that you may have and probably many more. How are the different heavenly realms accessed? How is the government of the heavenly realms organized? How does the government of the heavenly realms operate? How do the different realms relate to each other? How do the different realms function dimensionally? Are the realms fixed and one-dimensional, or are they multidimensional, multiversed? How do the spiritual laws or the physics of those realms function? Very different from the lower spiritual laws and physics of this realm. How do the heavens operate dimensionally in space-time? How can we engage the throne of grace, convene a court with the Father as judge at the same time as each other? How is that possible? Well, God is omnipresent. That explains some aspect of how we can engage God in different space-time perspectives, but how can we engage with wisdom or the angels or the seven spirits of God at the same time and in the same space? Are they omnipresent? Well, some of these things are things we'll explore. Do all the heavens function at the same speed of light, or is there a difference in speed and hence is time faster or slower relative to the different realms and relative to this realm? The physical realm, where created light functions, what about the creative light? Is it fixed or does it change? How do the heavenly realms relate to eternity? I use eternity to best word I know how to describe where God is outside of time and space. It's not really talking about the length of time, but the fact that there is all now. How does what was before there was relate to what is, and then what will be? And where do we engage what is so that we can bring what will be onto the earth? So what is where we stand in the name of God in heaven. What was is where we engage in eternity. And what will be is how we then create history by outworking that, so that God's desire in the now will be outworked practically in time and space. The kingdom is within us in our spirit. Is heaven within us in some way? How do we access heaven from within us? Is there a portal or a gateway like a wormhole that we can travel through? What is the language of heaven? I would suggest it's thought. But how does thoughts work? What is the atmosphere of heaven? How do you breathe? How does heaven relate to quantum physics and all the things of the quantum realm, quantum tunneling, quantum entanglement? How do those things function? How does sacred geometry relate to the heavenly realms? All of these dimensional pictures like Metatron's cube, the tree of life, the flower of life, different things like that. How do they relate? Question, question, question. Lots of questions. In those questions, I would suggest we need to look at how we begin to look at discovering how we engage the heavenly realms, and then look to see how those heavenly realms begin to be outworked on earth. So let's go ahead. We've seen that the different realms of heaven fractally are represented by the different perspectives within the tabernacle. So we have the veil, the way that we come through, engage the outer court, engage through there, coming through the cross. We walk in this way, and in the kingdom of the earth as a steward's friend, and we become a lord when we engage on the realms, find a throne in that realm of the kingdom of God. And then we learn to govern and rule the house, keep charge, perform his service as a priest within the kingdom of God, and have rule of that. And then there's another realm, veil of the truth, the inner court, where we can operate in kingship, have charge of the courts, engage the kingdom of heaven, and then go through the veil of the life into the Holy Holies, where again we can have charge of different courts, we can function in sonship, we can begin to have access into the presence of God, into the assemblies and councils of God, and have a part to play within those different functions. So where do we go next? What is the key to engaging these things practically? Well, there are many different pictures that I've drawn over the years. Ian Clayton has drawn pictures, which sort of try and define how you see these realms. They're not accurate expressions, but they seem to indicate that there are spheres or dimensional perspectives to it. So we have the kingdom of earth. We have God's presence. He promises to come here and engage with us when we gather in his name. We have the atmosphere of the earth, where rulers, powers, and principalities function. At the moment, most of those are spiritual hosts of wickedness, but actually we need to see that atmosphere filled with the correct principalities, powers, and rulers. Then we have God's kingdom, kingdom of God. We have the kingdom of heaven, God's domain. We have heaven, God's abode. And we have the timeline, and we can access, when we're in that place, we can access time and space. And then above that, we have heaven, heavens, perfection, eternity. How do all these realms function with one another? How do we access them? Can we just go in and out and access them as freely whenever we want? Or do we need a pass? If you like to go, I would suggest that as we mature, we get access to different courts and we get access to different roles, and we begin to function in those different roles in a different way. But they're also under the earth. What's under the earth? Well, we hear about Tartarus, Satan's trophy room, the fire of God's presence. Where are all these things? They're descriptions of dimensional places, not physical realms. We're not talking about a physical place necessarily under the earth, but it's a description to help those in those days talk about dimensions. And there are other dimensions. Some I've discovered where the children of miscarriages, abortions are being equipped and trained by particular angelic beings to bring them into the maturity because they've never lived here. And then there are different races Ian Clayton, I think, talks about 270, 290 different races. You know, what are these things? How can we engage them? Do we have free access or do we need to be invited to participate? Now, when Ian Clayton was here many years ago, he drew a diagram that represented how heaven functioned together, how all these realms worked and the thrones of God. Now, you know, it looks quite complicated. It is quite complicated when you look at it that way. We have to experience it if we're going to engage in it. So to begin with, we have access to the realm of the kingdom of God as a priest. We have access to our mountain throne there where we are a lord with our scroll of destiny. We have access to the court of war or strategy, the mobile court, court of angels in that realm. And we have different governmental spheres that we've been given that are represented by mountains that have scrolls that are the different areas that we may have individually. Family, workplace, our area, perhaps the ecclesia, gifting, ministry. When we access these things, we find that there are different levels of authority. And sometimes there are other levels of authority which we have at a higher level. Sometimes those are operating with others in a corporate sense that we work together to engage spiritual spheres of authority in that way. There's some opposition that tries to block, hinder, and usurp our authority there. That area in the kingdom of God is where we need to bring light into potential darkness. And so we rule there and establish God's kingdom there, which is above. And then everything else under the atmosphere and into the earth is under our feet. As Jesus said, there are everlasting doors between that realm, which engage the atmosphere of the earth and then come into the earth. If the atmosphere is blocked, whenever you open an everlasting door, look to administrate the kingdom, rather than just through our lives as a gateway, because we have direct access to bring heaven into the earth through our lives, in a corporate sense, when we begin to engage everlasting doors, how do they begin to function? If we don't clear the atmosphere, then there's a blockage. So these things go together governmentally. It's not as simple as just thinking, oh, great, there's an everlasting door. I'll open it and then everything will be wonderful in my life. We can maintain an open heaven of our own lives. We can maintain a flow of heaven into our lives and through us, around us. But if we're going to function in an area, region, something larger, then we need to look at a bigger perspective of the atmosphere and the kingdom of God and the earth, and then bring these three into alignment governmentally. Then we'll start to see things as we establish embassies of heaven on earth, ecclesias in that way. We have the court system of heaven, and all this court system of heaven enables us to access these functions on different realms. The first three in the realm of the kingdom of God, chancellors and scribes in the realm of the kingdom of heaven, court of kings, court of councils of fathers, court of the upright in heaven, and then court of judges, court of the Lord, council of 70 in the heaven of heavens. And then there's levels beyond that where Jesus is seated above all realms and authority. Metatron's cube. All of these intersections, dimensional intersections, some people say that they're frequencies connecting points of access, points of area where there is government, where there is dimensional interaction, where there are gateways, all these things function that way. Then you have the different realms where sacred geometry, phi, the golden mean, Fibonacci number sequences, the tree of life, which you can see in these pictures. Here you can see these pictures are beginning to be pictures within pictures dimensionally, and we're trying to draw something which is dimensional in a way, but actually it gives an illustration that there are access points, that we have a place within the tree of life, within Metatron's cube. That's also where we're seated. It's not just on a particular throne. It's in a connection to the whole of creation and the dimensions that enable us to begin to bring creation into order, answering creation's groan by becoming the position there where we're seated. And all these things overlap. The tree of life, in it you can see the flower of life and the tree of life interacting together, and you get beautiful pictures, which are these sacred geometric pictures that we can begin to engage with. And when you put it all together, it looks quite amazing. But heaven itself is connected to this, the wheels within the wheels within the wheels, the different ways that heaven functions. Therefore, we need to learn how to navigate these things and engage them. A friend of mine, Henry, put together this with using the 12 chancellor's houses where they operate in threes and fours windows, and how that functions with how heaven functions on judgment, justice, grace, and mercy. So there's lots of different ways of expressing how government works, what it looks like. We're obviously trying to do something diagrammatical to represent something which is not flat. It's dimensional. It's beyond three dimensions into four dimensions and multi-dimensions. So we're doing our best to give an illustration. You can't really map it out in the way that you would map out a normal picture on a map of Earth or even a star map. It goes beyond that. Okay, so with all these questions to explore, all these sacred geometric dimensions to engage, where do we start? Well, I think we need to start with the open door, an open door into heaven through the torn veil and within our spirit, so we can begin to access those realms so that we can find out some of the answers to those questions, and also where we can look to engage and experience those things which will give us insight into our individual lives. Because heaven, I believe, is multiversed, and therefore it's designed for us to engage in such a way that enables us to experience that in as who we are and who we've been created to be as sons of God. Now, the tabernacle was my initial focus. In 2010, I began to engage the realms of heaven, and I focused on the tabernacle for a few years. And although I had many forerunning experiences of many other places, this was where I began to focus. This is where I engaged as a living sacrifice. This is where I started to engage the Ark of the presence of God. Now, we know the tabernacle has an outer court and inner court, Holy Holies, and that pattern had veils between them. The veils were known in the temple as the way, the truth, and the life, which gives a different perspective of why Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and life. They understood it had a deeper meaning. There are obviously multiple meanings to that that we can explore. These veils represent matrices, access at different levels of maturity or by invitation. You know, sometimes you can be invited to observe, you can be invited to see. We will do activations which hopefully will open these things up for you, but to function there fully, you need to be mature. Therefore, going through the process of transformation is absolutely key to the heavenly realms and engaging them and functioning there. The division of soul and spirit, joints of marrow, thoughts and intentions of the heart represent that process of maturity. Three levels of deeper transformation are like going through the three veils. The outer court, dividing soul and spirit, the kingdom of God level of authority being enthroned there. The inner court, thoughts and intentions of the heart, the kingdom of heaven authority being enthroned there, lordship and then kingship. The Holy of Holies, the bone and marrow, the DNA, the order of Melchizedek, coming into the realms of heaven themselves. So as we engage with Jesus, who's our high priest, and we do that in surrender, he begins to prepare us for sonship. He gives us access and he begins to give us authority, and we will be trained and tutored with the seven spirits of God, with wisdom, with different angels, with some of the men in white linen, to begin to learn how to function in our sonship there. Transformational maturity goes alongside learning about scrolls and mandates and blueprints and laws and legislation and all the courts and thrones of heaven. You know, it is an amazing dimensional experience, but it boils down to, are we going to function there in sonship? Our relationship, which creates our being, then flows into who we are and then how we outwork who we are governmentally as sons of God. So as we embrace transformation, the heavenly realms begin to open up. That's what happened to me. The deeper I went, the more transformation I had, the more God opened it up and showed me. And I found that there were different levels of revelation and different levels of function as those realms opened up. Our governmental authority is proportional to our maturity level. We may access, but that doesn't mean we're going to fully effectively function until we're mature enough and trained enough to be trusted with that level of authority. Zechariah 3:7, which was Zechariah was the high priest at the time. He's in heaven describing his experience there. And he says this, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." This is what God spoke to him while he was there. "If you will." Now, this was a choice. He's not forcing anybody. "If you will walk in my ways." So it's important that we learn to walk in his ways, walk with him as Adam walked with him, as Ruach walked with him in this realm in the garden. God wants to return and walking with us relationally. He's obviously in us. We're in him. But then it goes beyond that. "If you will perform my service." Now, this was the priestly function to perform the services was accessing the different things within the tabernacle, within the temple, doing different services to perform God's kingdom, government, on earth as it is in heaven. Then you will govern my house. Now, that mountain of the house of the Lord, you know, all different descriptions. Of course, we're individually a house of the Lord. God dwells in us. We're a dwelling, a tabernacle where he dwells. So we can govern our own lives first. As we're priests, we begin to function governmentally towards our own life. We're a priest to that which we're given authority over. We also have charge of the courts. Therefore, we begin to function governmentally at a different level of authority, having wider spheres of authority, perhaps. And I will grant you free access among these who are standing here. So into the assemblies and councils of God, where God makes decisions and decisions are going on regarding the dimension that we're in and what God wants to bring, the restoration of all things to that dimension. So here's a process, if you like, of maturing that we all can be participating in, and we all may be at different stages of that process, but it is possible to function and engage in all those things as God opens up those realms and we mature into it. Now, we know the blood of Jesus is always on the mercy seat covering the ark. So we can come with confidence to engage the ark of God's presence, the ark of the covenant. We can engage that. Our spirit needs to resonate and harmonize with the contents of the ark, which reveal our destiny. This was my first level of engagement. I began to experience and sense a resonance that when I went there, it began to bring me into harmony and bring me into alignment. And we can expect God to reveal his will, his word, his heart, and release his authority for us to outwork that on a daily basis. And this is a daily experience. It's not something you do once and then it's all done. It's not something you do now and again when you think it'd be interesting. This is something we need to live from a daily perspective, seated in heaven, functioning out of heavenly mandates, living that out, working that into this earth so that we see heaven manifested through us into the earth. So I had three levels of engagement with the ark as I matured. First level was engaging as a Lord with the contents of the ark to receive mandates on a daily basis. And every day I would go seeking a mandate for what I was called to do that day. And then the next level was engaging with the four faces as a king, taking charge of the house and the courts. You know, for probably 2 years, I began engaging the ark and the full mandates, and I engaged the levels, what was in the ark. And then when I got separated soul and spirit, then that took me to another level where I could see things I couldn't see before. Were the four faces of God there between the wings of the cherubim? Absolutely. But I was focused looking elsewhere because I couldn't see it through the veils of my own immaturity. And the last level was accessing free access, stepping into the four faces, engaging the heart of God in the eternal now, walking the ancient paths and going things. So I went through those levels of maturity, and therefore it opened access for me to engage the Ark of the Presence of God in different ways. So initially, what was in the Ark? The manna, pot of manna, the tablets, and Aaron's rod. And I symbolically engaged them because they had meaning for me as I was looking to function in lordship and begin to engage governmentally as a son. The manna, the bread of life, represents the will of God. Jesus said, John 4:32, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And he was talking about that which supplies from heaven the ability to fulfill a mandate on a daily basis. Verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. When we begin to engage our destiny and the mandates, we will find everything we need to sustain us, not with just physical food, of course, but with everything to enable us to fulfill the will of God and the purpose of God. So I would go every day and I wanted to eat that manna because I wanted the sustenance of being able to outwork the will of God into the earth. And then I would open up my heart. The tablets, the living word of God, his heart is written on our hearts, our spirits. And I would engage and open my heart and ask him to write on the tablets of my heart, if you like, symbolically of revealing his will. Sometimes he writes it there and it would be directing me, leading me, drawing my heart towards certain things each day. Hebrews 10:16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart and my mind I will write them. So in the old covenant, it was on a set of tablets that Moses wrote. Now he is now writing on the tablets of our heart. And that was prophesied in Jeremiah and other places. So we can then begin to see what the Father's doing and hear what he's saying, engage relationally with him, know his heart, and then seek to outwork his heart. Now, I was stepping in and then stepping out and trying doing it. And then in 2012, when I engaged the dark cloud, I was able to stay in and be quantum entangled, living in dual realms of heaven and earth so that heaven can flow into the earth through me. Now, as I opened my heart to engage his heart, I found that I was led and drawn rather than driven. And it was an awesome thing to be integrated in that work. Psalm 45, 6, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. So Aaron's rod, the symbol of God's authority and anointing and power, was, hey, now I've been given a mandate. Now I have this power, this scepter of God's kingdom to administrate that and govern it so that his kingdom could come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hebrews 10:7 was describing this scroll, our destiny scroll. This was describing what Jesus said. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Now, of course, the scroll of the living word of God and everything that revealed who Jesus was and what he was called to do, we also have a scroll, a destiny scroll, and we can actually begin to engage it so that we can outwork it. I found that this worked on a daily basis. When I engaged the ark, I wanted that destiny scroll to be unveiled so I could have a revelation to my heart each day. So then I could seek first the kingdom, and then I only needed to do what I saw the Father doing. The whole transformation process enables the desires of our hearts to become aligned with God's desires, so we can use the scepter of authority effectively. If we're immature, and if we're going to use it for our own ends and our own purposes to make ourselves bigger, feel better about ourselves, then that authority is going to be pretty limited. But when we know who we are, we know our identity, we know our position, then we can use that authority with wisdom and with insight, with righteousness and with justice. So administering the kingdom government seated on our mountain thrones, that's every day was what I was seeking to do. After my dark cloud experience in 2012, when my soul and spirit were separated, reintegrated, where I was untethered from the earth, where I could live in dual realms, my focus moved from what was in the ark to what was manifest in between the cherubim's wings covering the ark. And, you know, this was sort of the illustration of that. It's a picture of someone coming as a priest before the ark, and there's God manifesting in the midst. And that's a lovely picture, but actually it wasn't what I experienced. What I experienced, actually, when I came to stand before the presence of God, there I engaged the four faces of God, the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. So, and I saw them morphing around in this amazing presence, and I was so drawn to engage it. You know, I'd spent probably, yes, 18 months or so engaging the contents of the ark, and all of a sudden, I'm looking at what's manifesting there in that awesome sense of the portal that opens between the wings of the cherubim in that place. And I started to be drawn to that, and I started to engage the eagle to start with, and then eventually all the four faces. And I saw that the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies and the ark in a sense is spatially arranged, and it's spatially arranged according to the four points of the compass. Now, we're not talking about north, south, east, west as it is on earth, but how it relates to that on earth from a heavenly perspective. And I discovered that in the north, you had the man, the priest, and that also related to the name of God. So you had Hay. On the east, lion, king, Yod. On the south, ox, oracle, Hay. On the west, east, eagle, legislator, Vav. So Yod, Hay, Vav, Hay. And if you look at the tabernacle in the Bible, you'll find that from the east gate things flowed, and there are various significant things of how that's related. But what I found was that as a priest, I would look in and engage in the intimate things of God. And then as a king, I would look to administrate those things out. And then in the sense of the oracle, I wanted to know the deeper things of the heart and word of God. I would look in, and then as a legislator, I would begin to administrate that out. So you have this rhythm of life, which is in and out, and even our breath. actually is framed with Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. God breathed into Adam and he became a living being, and then he breathed out. And then he breathed back in the atmosphere of God, and he breathed it out. And this is really what we're looking to do when we engage heaven. We're looking to this to become the rhythm of our life, how we live and breathe, have our being in him, and express our sonship through this amazing place where we can engage in intimacy and go deeper into these things. So engaging the ark, I looked into what the Father was doing governmentally. I discovered that the four faces of God are governmental. It is not the place of intimacy. I go to the throne of grace for intimacy. I go to the Father's garden. I can engage intimately in the garden of my own heart, within my own spirit with the Father. But this is governmental. There's something about it that carries the government of heaven. So I began to look into the four faces of God and engage the man, the lion, the ox, and the eagle. As a priest, a king, an oracle, and a legislator, I began to look into the name of God and engage Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. And I began to sing that. I began to resonate with it. It began to vibrate with a frequency that began to align me in sonship. You know, I spent a lot of time just there with Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. And I would be engaging the name of God and all that that carries. And, you know, we'll look at all the different names of God in other sessions so we can really see what the name of God is and how that really was representative. And this was aligned to the order of Melchizedek, Hebrews 6:20, where Jesus has entered, which beyond the veil, as a forerunner for us, not after death, but in life, having become a high priest forever after or according to the order of Melchizedek. And there was something related to lion, ox, eagle, man, which was related to the order of Melchizedek. So I discovered these four faces of God was the order of Melchizedek, heavenly government, worked through the royal priesthood that all of us have access to in our sonship. So the order of Melchizedek is a heavenly order. That's the first thing to note. This is something you do in the realms of heaven. Only the tribe of Levi and the family of Aaron could be priests and high priests on the earthly side of the veil. Now, there is no earthly priesthood anymore. There is the priesthood of all believers, not a separate earthly line. We are now all of that order. The old Aaronic order was corrupted and made obsolete and passed away with the old covenant and the law. And now we're in a new covenant, and that new covenant is of the order of Melchizedek, a royal heavenly priesthood. So the heavenly order is a priestly order, mediators for creation to restore the earth to its original heavenly position by bringing heaven to earth in the form of the kingdom of God and bringing alignment as it was originally intended. The order will be kingly, therefore governmental and legislative to the affairs of the nations and the culture of the earth. The priestly order has access to the deep mysteries or the treasures of God's heart and mind relationally. We have access to come in a place. Now, only one person could come into that place in the old covenant, but now the veil is torn. The new wineskin means that we're all those that have access into the very intimacy, intimate places, and with deep intimacy into the heart of God. And what we receive there in Revelation, the kingly order has access to the court, thrones of heaven to legislate, and the revelation governmentally to bring change and transformation. So this new order engages heaven, where the priestly and kingly function together to release scrolls of heavenly mandates, blueprints, laws, and legislation. The oracles and the legislators form a foundation of the word of God and the government of God on earth as a reflection of what it is in heaven. So this is bringing earth and heaven into alignment. And this is really a demonstration of that, a picture of it. Seeing the mountain of the house of the Lord as a pyramid, which we're looking down on, and we're beginning to see that heaven's government, the priest and the king, royal priesthood, forms an agreement in heaven. Now, we're not talking about two individual people here. We're talking about one person operating as a priest and a king, but bringing the priestly intimacy and the kingly governmental together. This isn't out of balance, where we're all priestly and no kingly, or all kingly and no priestly. This is where we bring it together in balance. And when we do that, then on earth, we also are in agreement between the oracle carrying that which has come out of heaven and legislating it, outworking it. So we individually become a reflection of heaven on earth according to the four faces of God, the order of Melchizedek. Now, what people have done is try to copy what they do in heaven. So in heaven, you have the bench of three, Father, Son, and Spirit, in relationship and in government. And you have a blueprint from heaven, and there's blueprints, plans for every single person. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. There's blueprints for everything on earth. And when you have a blueprint and Father, Son, and Spirit shine their government on it, the light of their government, when you shine that, it produces a shadow. Now, if that shadow is to be occupied, how? And this is what people have tried to do. They've tried to place a government over that shadow on the earth. And then they place, this is for my own life, me or pastors, prophets, apostles, on top of that government. And everyone else is under that government, covered by that government. And therefore we call it coverings, apostolic, prophetic coverings. And we've developed a whole system which has become mediatorial. And it's actually going back to what the old was. Because the old was a shadow of the new. And actually, God wants to establish this in a completely different way. So what does he want to do? Thinking of the fact, again, there's blueprints in heaven, the light of God shines, the shadow is not on the earth as much as it functions between the dimensions and bringing the dimensions of heaven and earth together. And then on the earth, you have the reflection of heaven's government, which is a bench of three, for my own life, spirit, soul, and body coming into agreement, but also for the ecclesia, city, region, nation, whatever it might be. Now notice then, there is no covering. Heaven is the covering. God is the covering. Effectively, we can therefore begin to occupy that shadow, and God will occupy that shadow. His presence will manifest. His glory will begin to manifest in a totally different way once we have this order of government connected. Again, see, this is where the priest and the king and the prophet or the apostle or the oracle and the legislator bring heaven and earth to agreement to see the manifestation of that shadow. That blueprint on earth is an outworking of God's desire and will in heaven. And he wants to outwork that on earth. And we get to be part of this. We can actually be part of this process. And therefore, there is no end to the increase of his government, because there is a continual expansion of that rather than a limitation of a covering of others put over us. So then we can begin to frame our world from the mandates we receive there. And we bring order to our world because we have authority to legislate and bring an agreement between heaven and earth in our own lives. We become the representation of the four faces of God on the earth. We act as kings and priests. We speak prophetically and administrate legislatively. The function of a priest is to go within the four faces and look out from within to reveal within without. And it's everything about what we receive in that place of intimacy and that revelation, which then enables us to release that into the earth to bring a manifestation of it. So when we step into the four faces of God, we step into Yod, He, Vav, He. We step into his name and we have access to his heart. So the third level of engagement for me wasn't just observing the four faces and engaging and resonating with the four faces of God. It was stepping into his name and engaging and being able to operate as the four faces of God in that place. So now we're in his name. Yod, He, Shin, Vav, He, with access to the power of attorney to act on his behalf. This is a different level of government. This requires a different level of surrender, a different level of intimacy. In the name of Jesus now takes on a completely different meaning and authority rather than something we add to a name when we pray at the end of a prayer. This is something where we stand. This is where we're positioned both identificationally as a son and in authority in government. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts. So all of us has this access or desire for eternity. God has set eternity in our heart to draw us home, to draw us back to that place of intimacy and relationship. And we can begin to walk on the ancient path to access the heart and mind of God outside of time and space. And this is this covenant picture. This is the infinity symbol where you keep walking. It never ends. It just continues to go back to the beginning, to outwork and go back to the beginning. But the key is standing in the middle, in the name of God, in the what is, so that we can walk back into what was, the eternal now, and then walk that back into what is, and then administrate what will be. And this is what we do on a daily basis. This is why we stand in the realms of heaven, to bring a convergence of time and eternity together so that an outworking can take place. So we step outside of time and space into the eternal now, being in the omnipresent God in the eternal now. We have access into what was before there was, his heart in that eternal. Now, this is a non-linear way of engaging and thinking and experience. And it's very hard without our minds being deconstructed and renewed and rewired to enable us to operate in the now. And there was an awesome film called The Arrival, in which a linguist looked to connect with those who did not have an audible language, but had a pictorial type of language. And as she engaged linguistically to understand how they were trying to communicate, her mind got rewired so that she can actually begin. And she discovered that they were communicating non-linearly in a now. So that is very difficult to experience without having encountered eternal things and having our minds reconnected and rewired. But it is possible. The eternal now is where we came from and where we can return and continually to function from. We access the womb of his creative thoughts, his heart, where we can learn to see from an eternal perspective, seeing from the now or the continual beginning. I love it with God. There's always the continual beginning. He wants to bring good out of everything we do. So there's always a continual beginning if we're willing to engage him. We can learn to perceive what will be from the eternal now. We see ourselves from his eternal perspective, light beings, constructed from the desires of his heart, framed in his thoughts, spoken into existence. This was how he formed us. We were a desire for relationship and intimacy within his heart, and he framed us in his thoughts, all those vast, some of the thoughts he has about us, according to Psalm 139. And then he's spoken us into existence. He breathed into us the living word of God, the living letters of the very creation we're birthed in and are part of us. We can feel our eternal identity. We can become aligned to what we see and feel there. And then we can choose to act from this revelation to frame our lives. We frame our lives out of our eternal destiny, his heart, his desire for us. So we can see from the eternal now, this non-linear perspective, we can begin to call things that be not as if they are. So we can call for change and change things around our lives. We can bring order and government around our lives. We don't have to keep being suffering the same circumstances and situations of being under them. We're over them and we have government towards them. We can decree and declare and prophesy what will be from what was, in the what is, to change what will be to reflect what was. We become aligned with his will and purpose, our destiny. And this is what we can do every day. We can begin to learn, live from that place. Now, if you're living in dual realms, this can be operating beyond just the level of consciousness. Yes, we can consciously engage, and it's good to consciously engage because that rewires our mind, our thinking. But our spirit can engage there continually. This is where we were birthed. We have continual access, and we can function that way as a continual process. We can live and move or have our being in God as we access God's heart and mind within that perichoresis of the dance of Father, Son, and Spirit. We're connected to the very essence of God, his very nature, the precepts of God, God's heart, his nature, his character of love. And this is the foundation that will be built into our lives, which will be the foundation on which our lives can be outworked. And then we can see the statutes of God, God's mind, his perspective, his vision, how he sees things, how things are ordered within his mind. and then engage the laws of God, the creative voice of how things are ordered as desire and thoughts to be spoken into reality. We can create our own realities when our minds are aligned to this, and we can choose all those possibilities and collapse them into one reality in alignment with God's will as creative sons. Engaging with these three things, the precepts, statutes, and laws, opens the doorway for the ordinances of heaven to be assigned and released, to manifest heaven's government, the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Three things in government always open a window for a manifestation. We have access to engage dimensionally, to go to and fro on earth and in and out of dimensions. That's why we can be translated to different parts of the world and to minister in that realm, because we have access in and out. We can go up into that realm of heaven and down figuratively under the earth, back in time, stand in the what is to establish what will be. So we have these dimensional engagements where we're not limited to one or two dimensions. I'm drawing them in a very limited way. When you see Metatron's cube and when you see the tree of life, it goes beyond these simple dimensions. So yes, we can go up into heaven. Yes, we can go down under the earth. Yes, we can go to and fro and in and out. Yes, we can go backwards into the eternal now. And then we can outwork that and walk it out into what will be. We become history makers. We establish from the eternal now, continual now, heaven on earth. Now, this is just to simplify it, because obviously we have access within the midst when we're in that central place of Yahweh, the name of God, what is, we have access to multi-dimensions. We have access to be into the framework and fabric of creation. We have access to do all those things. Desire is the key that unlocks the realms of God and our destiny. It empowers us to function as sons. Desire builds life to materialize what we look at and intently behold. That's why we need a face-to-face relationship with God. That's why we see in the mirror reflected back that which is his heart and his desire for us. And when we see that, it can begin to align around our lives and in our lives. As we shift our affections onto God, the object of our desire, we become aligned to our destiny. Fixing our eyes on the new object, on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph Bet. Until that which we see, that object fills our desire with its image. Then we carry that desire in our heart to see everything through that lens. We have no heavenly governmental authority outside of what we carry in our hearts. So what's in our hearts? The mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. That's why when we carry these things, we can legislate and govern with authority. We can be led by what's in our heart, and we can administrate that. So let's engage the ark, the tabernacle, engage in the realms of heaven. You know, as we've done before, engage with an attitude of being a living sacrifice and be proactive about surrendering and allowing him to take you where he needs to take you. We're going to go up through that veil, shift our focus, if you're already there, to engage by desire, to see what God opens up. You know, go with whatever he shows you. You know we have this open heaven. We know the open heaven is for us to engage. I want to encourage you just to go with an open heart and allow him to begin to administrate heaven on earth, to begin to function in that way. I'll encourage you, don't be prescriptive. I'm going to follow this process of engaging the ark. You can engage with the contents of the ark. You can engage the four faces. You can step into the four faces. You know, we can do all those things, but just be led. Just allow the Spirit to lead you. Let Jesus lead you into this. So just encourage you just to close your eyes. Just think of that open heaven. Think of that ladder, Jacob's ladder, leading up into heaven. The torn veil. Just begin to shift your conscious focus to engage with your spirit in that realm. Go through the veil. Remember, as you go through, you're going through the cross, the place of covenant exchange. All the old can be exchanged for new as you step into that realm. Jesus is standing in the doorway, We just present ourselves to you, Jesus, our High Priest. We present ourselves as a living sacrifice. We surrender, only wanting to do your will. We thank you for your embrace. Just allow him to embrace you. Sense the love that he has for you. Now let him take you by the hand. Jesus, I ask you take each person to that place and engagement that they need today. Just take us through the veils to engage the ark. Through the veils of the way and the truth and life. As we stand before the ark of his presence, let the desire of our heart to seek his will and purpose. Within that ark, there's the hidden manna of his will. We can engage our spirit with that will, to receive his will, to begin to resonate and come into agreement with his will and purpose. We just open our hearts for you to write on the tablet of our heart an unveiling of our destiny for today, an unveiling of your mandate for us today. Just spend a few minutes engaging with that mandate, with that, his will, the revelation of his heart for you. Open your hearts and let him begin to unveil and reveal those things within the core of your being. Just begin to look into his presence between the wings of the cherubim and begin to think of his name. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, Yod, Hey, Vav. Hey, Vav, Hey. Just resonate with that sound, those living letters. Resonate with the sound. Yod, Hey, Vav. Look into the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. The lion, the ox, and the eagle, and the man. And just resonate with that face that you perhaps might be drawn to. Drawn to the face, one of the four faces. God's name. Just resonate. Let your spirit engage the impartation, the revelation of the order of Melchizedek, that heavenly perspective. Yod, Hey, Bar. Hay. Lion. Ox. Eagle. Man. You may want to step into his presence. Step into that name. Step into Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. Step inside the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. Just sense and feel the resonant frequency. As perhaps you look out through the eyes of the lion, or the ox, or the eagle, or the man, just engage, be drawn, let your spirit lead you, standing within the name of God. Resonate with that name. Speak through the eyes and the mouth. You can see, you can hear, you can engage. Speak out, prophesy, call into being your destiny. Prophesy and declare and decree the kingly order of the lion to bring government around your life. Decree and prophesy and declare through the mouth of the ox. Start to see the vision through the eyes of the eagle. Just be led with your spirit within the name of God, standing when Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. Administrate that name. Let this frequency vibrate within you, align you to the order of Melchizedek and the four faces of God. As a priest and a king. Yod, Hey, Shin, Vav, Hey.